Conversation with Maitreya, May 24, 2003.
Welcome to the conversation room of the mission Maitreya. This is the room that we claim to have the last revelation from God. The unity of our religion has come to humanity, and the way to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth and unity and peace is here. The only thing is left to reach to humanity. Let them know that God sent all the religions of the world, and now all of them are expressed. They all have come from the same God. There is not many gods, there is only one God, and He has sent all religions of the world, and now He has unified them. I hope you all have studied our teaching during the week, came to this room, and in deeper level realize what we are teaching here. That is the reason for this room and this format. So all of you can go ahead and study the teachings, and if you have questions, we can come back here together and talk in a deeper level and understand the teaching and the wonder of God that have brought us this wonderful revelation and opened the seven seals now, and the unity of His revelations are on earth. Basically, our teaching is based on the sign, which is called the greatest sign. And if you go to our website, www.maitreya.org, the first thing you will see, of course, is that greatest sign. And in that greatest sign, you will see seven seals. And each seal will reveal the teaching of one or more great religions of the world. And then you put all of them together. Path is revealed, which we call it eternal divine path. And if you realize what that eternal divine path teaches you, you will see that all the problems and the pitfalls of the spirituality will be taken care of, and you will be freed to reach the goal of this life. We are not just put here for no reason. We are not just put here to eat, sleep, make children, and die with no purpose and reason in life. God has put us on this universe for a purpose, and the purpose of this creation is to return to Godhead, return to the state of pure consciousness, or the feeling that I am in the joy and unity with the pure essence of the universe. And therefore, if all humans realize that the goal of the life is to become divine, they will not concentrate on this mundane material world, but they will concentrate in higher level of consciousness, and the life have a goal and a reason to be here, and they will concentrate in that reason, and therefore the relationship, their life, their society, the whole earth will have a purpose to work on, instead of working on a lower level of the energy that humanity is on now. And therefore we will work in a greater degree to bringing a higher relationship between people, create an environment that every man, woman, child will progress physically, mentally, and spiritually, and we will bring the kingdom of God on earth. Of course, the first step of in this path is to awaken your spiritual forces. That means to know thyself. To know thyself means to meditate, to concentrate, to realize. This explanation has been given many, many hundred times, probably thousands of times. And if you go to our other rooms during the week, you will hear it again and again here. That is why I felt that all the questions that anybody could have had after mission has been answered, and now is the time really for everybody to understand the teaching in a greater degree and a depth, and eventually those who have been called for should come and join and come close to us, and so we can create the facilitating body to spread this mission and teaching all through Earth. Facilitating body are the body that will facilitate the creation of the communities of life. And the communities of life is based on the eternal divine path and the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. So it is a task that will be done with the elects and those who have been called to come together and create this system with no ego attachments or ambitious ego related reason to join God's word. So the first thing is to realize what the eternal divine path is. The eternal divine path, of course, is the teaching of the seven seals, as was explaining. Know thyself, awaken your spiritual forces, meditate, concentrate, read, look at the greatest sign, realize it, read law, read our teaching, come to this room, listen to the reading, go to our other rooms, listen to the lectures and readings done on this, and eventually realize the depth of this teaching. And then you said, well, right, I was looking for this for all my life or many lifetimes, and now these all have come together and makes a lot of sense. And that's one of the interesting things about this mission, is it makes so much sense and has answered all the questions that have ever anybody could ask about it. So it is teaching that no matter what your questions or realization is, you will find yourself a part of this revelation, and you can completely, if you really open to the truth, you will see that what is being said here is the truth, is from God, and therefore there is a calling for every person, every being who comes to this mission and realizes the depth of it. That calling, of course, is different for each individual, and each individual have to recognize and realize what their calling is, and also come and see what the teachings are and see where they fit in this revelation and call to everyone to come join and bring the peace and unity on earth. Of course, we realize that we are just instrument of God, and we will let God come through and do His work through us. So the first step in the eternal divine path is to know thyself, awaken your spiritual forces. Of course, that's the religions that teach meditate, teach know yourself, teach be still and know that I am God. That essence in you and God are one. The Atman and Atman are one. The Khud and Khuda are one. God and you have the same essence. You are in the image of God. If you understand that, then you realize that essence not only is in you, but also in every other individual and beings on earth, and therefore you no longer look at them as separate from you, but look at them as a part of God, that you also are a part of it. And you will bring the relationship between people based in higher level instead of separating themselves by superficial reason of nationality, race, gender, and all the problems that we can see on earth is prevalent among humans, and there are wars and destruction and killing with no understanding and feeling of the person or the people I kill also are the essence of God, and I am creating karma and I will pay for it. If I'm not in this lifetime, I eventually will. So that is why we can see that the history has shown to us, no matter how powerful we are, eventually those things will be changed and somebody else is going to be powerful and they're going to do the same thing to us that lead it to somebody else. So this lesson has to be learned that the law of karma is not just a fancy philosophy. This is the truth. This is what God has created and works on earth, and therefore understand the teaching of the karma, which is to learn our lessons. Karma is not something that is fixed and you have a karma and you will carry it forever. Karma is something for you to learn your lesson, and then you learn the lesson, there is no karma. And that's why we are here. We are here to learn our lessons and progress, and therefore don't create more karma so we can go back to the Godhead or become a greater worker for God. Now we meditate and we created some understanding of ourselves that we realize, wow, I have a big ego and therefore I will do the next step. We explain the next step after we see what Vibruzzo has for us. Go ahead, Vibruzzo.
Yeah, thank you, Macarius. I'm still a little puzzled by one very basic concept, and in all my studies of religion, I find the same dichotomy in the concept of God. First, even in your writings, I find the same inconsistency. First, God is defined as some infinite, all-knowing entity that exists in the entire universe and is the source of the vibrational energy that we call life. And it's some sort of an entity that's larger than everything. We're all part of it, and it covers the entire universe. So I kind of see that as not a God of a personal God, but a universal God. But then, in other places in your writings and in other writings that I've studied, I see God condensed down to some sort of a super being with human characteristics. God wants, God gets angry, God is pleased, God passes judgment. God comes down in the form of a human, God has messages. And I just have a problem trying to reconcile this concept of this great universal God that pervades the entire universe with a God that is concerned about our insignificant little lives on this little remote planet in some part of the universe. How could God be both things? I mean, maybe we're dealing with entities that are intermediaries between this universal God and the physical life on this planet. It just somehow I can't understand how God can be universal and personal at the same time.
Okay, that's a very good question. Vibruzzo, how about if there is more levels in God and God in his different levels? There is a God which is universal, which is absolutely infinite, which is beyond human or intellect and human understanding. And that is the God that is unmanifested, is in pure consciousness, he is in essence. And therefore, that is the God that is very impersonal. Now, there's the part of God, if you remember our teaching, that when the universe created, do you remember what happened after the universe went out of the balance? If you read the Do, I think you have Do, and I don't know if you remember that part that the universe went out of the balance.
Matter of fact, we were just reading that in the room
this
past week.
I think last night, matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what was the essence of it?
I don't know if I'm on the same track you're on, but I was thinking of the, not so much the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, but more of the fall of man after the time of Noah and the flood. When there was this barrier, I don't know if I should use the word barrier, but when the status of man was lowered, to be less than it was before the flood. Is that what you're talking about?
Okay, how about we go a little farther back when the universe was in the balanced state and somehow the balance was disturbed and the unit consciousnesses were created. And do you remember that part? It is in the very beginning of though, just in the first and second chapter, actually it starts from the second sign, and then it explains how everything was in a balance and there was some desire somehow arose in the consciousness, in an unmanifested essence, and then everything went to the rest of creation. Okay, you say, my mic won't go on. Now you will have to, okay. Okay, the whole universe was in the state of balance. There was no creation, and everything was in a state of pure bliss and joy, or ananda. Then, for some reason, somehow, a desire was arose in this consciousness, in this essence, which brought imbalance in the universe. In stereo, the people who raised their hands first will receive the questions, and then I have to see, you know, what was your question, and we will answer it later, or we can ask it later. How long have you been here on Earth, and where did you come from? Okay, we will answer that after we explain Brizo's question. So, when the balance went off, the first feeling was, I know, because of the influence of the Sattva Guna. And then the second feeling was, I do, the influence of the Raja Guna, which is the energy in the universe, therefore activates. And then the third feeling was the memory, which the creation of the Tamaguna, which created ether, and ether were the place that memories are stored. Okay, just hold on that one. If you want me to answer mysterious question, how long have you been here on Earth? I assume you mean in the universe, or in this lifetime, which one you're asking? Are you asking this lifetime, or previous lifetimes, or from the beginning? Okay. On Earth, according to our teaching, this spirit have been on Earth from the very beginning of creation, and have come to humanity many, many lifetimes, and brought the revelations of God in each time that they were necessary. Therefore, this is the spirit of God that have come to Earth to bring the realization. As an individual and being born, well, it is the straightforward answer. If you're asking this lifetime, I was born in 1944, and I've been on Earth around 60 years probably. Where am I come from? I've come from God. Everybody has come from God, and therefore we should realize and see each other as the essence and the part of God, not what country, what nationality, what race. And therefore we can overcome those barriers or categories we make for each other and create separation. But if you want to know, I was born in Tehran, Iran, and came to this country in 1973, and the revelation came in 1977, and we reached out to humanity in 1982. And we have been preaching this teaching ever since. So the revelation has been here for last 26 years or 25 years, and we are reaching to more people. Go ahead, Mysterio.
What I want to know, if you are the Messiah and you have come to this world for a specific purpose, and I believe from your point of view, it is to bring all the different religions together and begin a whole new order of things. Now, you have been here since 44, you say. You've been here many times before, according to your teaching of being born in different times, different eras. If that is the case, and you've been here since then, why is the situation on Earth? Yeah, you're right, reincarnation, sorry, just set my mind there for a minute. Why is the situation on Earth amongst humans the way it is now? If you're the Messiah, has been here for that long, because I suppose everybody who is looking for a Messiah is looking for this one thing, that peace should come to Earth. And you call yourself a master, teacher of peace, a bringer of good tidings. Isn't it strange that you have been here, you have your followers, but yet the majority of the world lives the way it does? There's been no change ever since you came. It just got worse, and still going to get much worse by the look of it. Okay, let me just ask that one quick, okay?
Well, first of all, since I came, not everything is said the same they were. When I came, mostly the human was in a dune buggy, and they were very low in understanding and knowing a lot of knowledge, which has increased, which fulfills the prophecy of at the end time the knowledge will increase. And also many things has happened since 1944. Actually, the 20th century has observed amazing progress in human evolution in many levels. So we can see that many things have changed. Now, why human situation is the way it is? First of all, if you had read our teachings, you would have known that God tried to help human from the very beginning, and the human ego is very strong, willfulness is amazing in them, and they will not accept God's words and will not follow what he said. That is why Bible is very clear. From the very beginning, man did not listen to God. God told them what is good for them, how they can be happy, how they can be progress, and how they can be a part of God. But they did not listen, and they willfully disobeyed him, and that's what the falling was, and that is what exactly even happening today. That is why there was a plan devised that God is going to let the good and the bad come together and live together and continue until the end time, when he has enough elect, he will choose the elect and will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. So if you understand our teaching it in deeper level, you will realize God really didn't create human. The human is a part of God. It was a part of God, but their ego prevents them from listening to God, and that is why everything is in trouble. Go ahead.
Okay, I heard what you said there just now, but I don't think you have answered my question very satisfactorily. Because if you are the Messiah, and you have come for that specific purpose, what have you done by yourself as this Messiah for humankind up until this day? Within this time, you've had your time of ministry. You are still doing it now. What have you done to change the face of the earth in as far as the way mankind lives? Mankind has been in a degenerative state since the fall with Adam and Eve, and it has never got better. It actually got much worse since the flood situation, and it's now in the so-called end times. It is even worse than what it was ever before. And here you come in this last 30 to 40 years of our history, and we have been here ever since, and it has just gone steadily worse. And as I say, there is no outlook on the horizon that says to mankind that it will get better. It is just going downhill all the time. So I would like to know, as this Messiah, what is you specifically done to change all of this? I haven't seen anything.
Okay, Mr. You brought many, many points in your questions or questions, and probably the best place to start resolving this problem that you bring up is your definition of Messiah. It sounds like you think Messiah is going to come and say, okay, from this moment on, everything is going to be okay, and that's going to what happen. And is that your understanding of Messiah? It sounds like your understanding is he's going to come and everything is going to be fine the next day. It has never happened in history. Messiah brings a message. That is why Prophet Muhammad emphasized, I am just a plain messenger. But at the same time, when Messiah comes, when the teaching come to humanity, indeed the dark forces, the ego, even become stronger. That's what you can see. Every time Messiah comes, every time Christ returns, there is also upheaval, destruction, wars, and it gets even worse. So I think you have to realize that your understanding of Messiah has to be modified. You have to read our teaching in a greater degree and realize that human has their free will. And that is what makes us different than animals. Indeed, isn't that what all religions say? What their expectations are? He who says that I am truth? Okay. You mean the expectation is that Messiah can make it everything okay? But it is not a scripture. Just read the New Testament, read the Revelation. What happens? Every time a seed is open, actually it gets worse. There is a plague comes to humanity. The destruction comes to humanity. Anytime an angel comes in the Revelation, it gets even worse. Not better right away. So you are following the preacher. You are following the intellectual spiritualist. You are following your understanding is religious, not God's word. That is why we have to understand the difference between religion and God. What religion says is what they want to believe. But what God says is what the truth is. The truth is the situation gets worse before it gets better. Of course, so far, each seed was opened had only a part of the whole truth. That is why the suffering continued and the elect was not prepared to accept their position and situations. And yet still today, even those who come and call themselves elect have to progress in a greater degree, and some of them even have a big ego that can't even approach God. So we can see that you have to modify your understanding of God and His way and His plan. Then you see that, yes, this is the end time. This is the time for human that they have gone through all this destruction and even getting worse. I agree with you. It is getting worse. But that's what God says is going to happen. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And so the whole idea is the Messiah is a messenger. That's what my teaching and my mission is. I have a message for you. I have a message for humanity. That look, God sent all these religions to man separately, and now we put all of them together. So you have to recognize God's word. Don't follow man's word, and you will see God exactly did what He said He was going to do. And we have the free will, and that's why I'm here to tell you, freely choose God and this revelation, and freely come and help to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Go ahead, Mysterio. But let's get just to the point. I still have some questions from refusal to answer. Let us be brief and right to the point. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Right to the point. The Messiah did come beforehand. He brought the message to all of the world that everybody should turn back to God more than 2,000 years ago now.
Okay.
And the world was supposed to have turned to God, but they just degenerated in sin, became all the more bad until we have the situation that we have today. And he said that you would come back, but this time not as the Messiah, but to bring in a new system of things, a God kind of system on the face of the whole earth, which is why every single so-called religion on the face of this earth preaches the return of this Messiah figure. But he very definitely said, he did come as the Messiah, but now he'll come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in order to put in this system, this new system. So, okay, I understand that there's a system preach the way you preach. It's for a new system to come, a new world order to come. And indeed, a God sent his servants to come and preach that system as well. So we have these two systems standing opposite one another. Question for the world, though, is just this. Which one will they choose? I most definitely will not choose yours, that I can tell you. I know very much about you and your teachings. And I want to say this, if you would allow me, for everybody to hear, I most definitely will not follow your teachings in the way that you choose. I would want to hear in the eyes of everybody to declare you as to be the so-called anti-Christian figure that this very same Messiah that I'm talking about declared would come in the end of the world.
Okay, we got your point. Mysterio, you are a Christian, you think that Christ is the Messiah and I'm Antichrist and he is the only way. Well, we have heard that many times, and thank you for bringing this up again. I'm not going to argue with you. It is up to you to go to prove it yourself. Apparently you are a fundamental Christian and we expect that you guys come here and say this thing, that's fine, that's okay, that's your belief. We leave you to God and we will see who is the corrected one. Of course, God said, I shall return. But he didn't say how many times. He said, I shall return. And he did return as Muhammad. He returned as Bab. He returned as the Spirit of God many times on earth. And the prophecy has been fulfilled. We have identify who the Antichrist is in our website, and you're right, there is two opposing forces on earth and on the universe, and they are against each other. Anybody's belief you are Antichrist, we leave you to God. Why are you so afraid of Antichrist? If you are with God and the religion and the scripture says eventually God will prevail and bring his kingdom of heaven on earth, who is afraid of Antichrist then? There is no reason to be afraid of him. God said he will win at the end. Therefore, there is no fear of Antichrist or devil at all. So if you are afraid of him, then your faith is not very strong and your fear is greater than knowing God. You will probably have this kind of attacks here, but the people who are doing it, they don't want to know the truth, but they want to keep on having their dogma. Let's go back to Webrizo's question. When it was in the balance and the balance was disturbed, the three levels of mind was created, as I know, I do, and I have done. And the unit consciousnesses were created. And then when unit consciousness was created, that part of the Spirit of God that also was affected with this process but did not become fragmented, or the very witness entity in the imbalanced universe, Yes, that is true. You have to empty your cup before you can receive the new wine in the new skin. So we can see that because of that witness entity, you can say there is one part of God which is universal, is absolutely absorbed to itself in a bliss, in ananda, and have no interest actually in this manifested universe. But there is a part of also the same God which is the witness entity of the universe. It is not engaged but sees every part of the universe and knows what is going on, and that is the God that is helping the universe to go back to Godhead. And because it is a spirit and witness entity, it cannot manifest itself in the manifested world. That's what it needs, the body to come and bring messages and manifest God in the fullest. And that is the concept of Messiah or prophet comes, and that Messiah's prophet is bringing the spirit of God to humanity. And that is why we can see Adam came as the first teacher to man. He brought the teaching of God to man. And then of course Abraham and Jacob and all the prophets at the Old Testament, the Moses, and eventually Christ came. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ realized he has to become surrendered and submissive to the will of God. That's why he brought the teaching of surrender and submission as Islam, and then he came as universal, this teaching of Baha'i and Bab, and eventually brought the concept of elect of Paravipras or Sarvipras, and now we put them all together. Now God said, okay, Maitreya here, your name Maitreya, your name is this and that, and this is your revelation, this is the teaching, that's how I send all these religions together. Go and tell humanity, tell humans, you're not separated. Your religion is not different. It's from the same source. It's from same God. Of course, they still have a lot of dogmas. Just like we just heard this gentleman, he believes I am the Antichrist. Fine, okay. Why are you afraid of me? I'm Antichrist. Who's going to win at the end anyway? God is going to win. So, you go your way and we go our way to see he's the truthful one. But how can it be Antichrist when the teaching is based on the scripture? It's based on the word of God. It is fulfilled the prophecy that foretold by God to come. The cup is so full that they cannot even see everything is from God. It cannot be anti-God if it's from God. So you can see that we have this problem. Unfortunately, there is a lot of dogmas and misunderstanding and not wanting to hear the truth. And that is why we have so much trouble. Answering your question, the levels of God's consciousness. In one level, in infinite level, in essence, he has no memory, he has no action, he has no knowingness, he is absolutely in bliss, he is absolutely unconcerned about what is happening out of that essence. In another level, he is a witness entity in the universe, and therefore he knows exactly what everything is happening. And he created the universe, he created the manifested world, and trying to help it to return back to Godhead. I hope that answers your question, Brizo. If it didn't, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I got read about it when you read about it, Mysterio.
Yeah.
It looks like I had to go out and come back in to unlock that. I'm sorry he left, and I know, you know, we shouldn't get into arguments or cross conversations in the room. It's your time to talk and our time to listen and learn. I have a couple of things I wanted to say to him, but I guess I'll save it for another time. Yes, you did answer my question. I'm still not clear on how God can be so multi-level, and I guess when I got on this path many, many years ago, I was trying to find some way to make the God presence more prevalent in my life, and I'm still struggling with that. But it has nothing to do with your message. It has to do with my own ability to understand and filter it down. But as I contemplate your messages and what I read and what I hear, and I sit and think about it and meditate on it, I find that it awakens things that I knew before I came to this life, that the answers are there.
Mm-hmm.
I spent most of my life covering up the answers, and now your message is helping me to go back to an earlier time and understand things better. So even though the concept of God is not really clear to me at this time, the method is. So I'll just stay with that and take baby steps until understanding improves. Thank you.
The teacher comes and teaches you what already you knew. And that is what happens to most of the people. They had this question. Of course, they get engaged with the life and the things are forgotten after a while, and you can return to them later on as you see and hear the message. The concept of God, of course, is a one concept. It's very hard to understand. And it is not something you understand it, you experience it. That is what we discussed last week about the Essenes. They used to go and meditate, and also American Indians, the vision quest is to experience God. And when you experience God, then you have no question. You understand it, you realize it, you realize infinity, and you realize it's beyond human mind. That is why intellectually you cannot explain God. Intellectually you cannot understand God. Intellectually I can explain to you thousands of times, but if you have not experienced it, never ever will intellectually satisfy you, because God is beyond intellect. God is beyond mind. And we are trying to understand something which is beyond our senses and understanding. That's what the first step is so important in the eternal divine path, to meditate, to deeply go inside. And actually, from now on in the mission, we probably will look for the people that they have the vision. They have the direct relationship with God first, before they really can be considered as an elect. Otherwise, their ego and their ambition or want to be somebody or whatever reason that makes them accept the teaching but not have a vision of God will become an obstacle in their way and will not make it. The question has been raised, explain to me God, what is God? And I resist that very rigorously. You cannot explain God. You have to experience it. You have to go for a vision quest. You have to meditate. You have to fast. You have to do all the things is been recommended, but of course in our teachings you also start following the other steps in the eternal divine path, and all of them eventually will lead you to God. There is no hand. If you want to go ahead and tell us what was your answers about this brother who came in the room, and go ahead and tell us what you were going to tell him. It may be interesting the points you are making that help everybody else as well.
Well, basically, is what I said. I was going to, since he's so interested in age and location, I was going to tell him that I came to this life in 1943 and became interested in finding the answers around 1965. And basically what I said about as I learned things, especially from your teachings, it awakens things that I realized I knew before I was born. But if I'm going to go through life just spouting the things that were forced upon me as I grew up, the religious teachings that I memorized without understanding, and then came to the conviction that since this is what I was taught when I was a child, this must be true, so I'm not able to learn anything else, then I will not learn anything else.
Exactly.
So I have to take your advice to empty my cups and take all these intellectual things that I learned as I was growing up and look for an answer in the experiential level, the emotional level, without being emotional about it. But now getting away from that, the one thing I want to ask, and then I will stand back and sit in the corner and be quiet and just listen. The few times that I thought that I was approaching something that might be God knowledge, the experience that I felt was a deep grief, not the joy that I was expecting. And a few times I got to that point and felt this grief. My whole body was shaking and almost passed out from the feeling. I've been a little reluctant to get back there again, so I'm having a hard time going that deep because of this black hole that I seem to fall into. Is that a common experience? Is that something that other people have tapped into, the grief of life rather than the joy?
Yes, it is very common, because when you start meditating and you become closer to God, actually you have a feeling of you are dying. You have a resistance and you feel that you're losing it. You're absolutely are dying. And that feeling of death is, of course, it's not you dying, it is your ego which is dying. Ego doesn't want to give up. Ego wants to stay in control and not to let you go to God. And that is why you start feeling of sadness. Any trick that ego can bring to you to prevent you from going to God will become stronger and come to you and will prevent you to go farther. Some people are afraid even to continue, as you explained, because they feel that it is too difficult, it is too sad, it is too unappealing to ego. But as I said, those who stay to the end will be saved, will make it. So a spiritual path is a very hard, as Christ said, that there is a highway which leads to destruction and there is the hard path which leads to life. And therefore, a lot of people will resist to go farther because they are afraid and a lot of things ego is telling them and discourage them from continuing. So you have to continue. You should not give up and not be afraid of the calamity because you trust in God. And your focus is in God, but not what is happening around you, what's happening in your meditation, what is preventing you from going farther to your goal. Go ahead, Ashley.
I would just like to say that I totally agree with Bezo. I've been looking at your site now for about a month, quite regularly, and I really enjoy what I read, but I find myself getting more and more depressed, and I really can't understand why.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen to people who progress. It is a depressing world when you look out there and see people killing each other and they are having a lot of problems in their lives, and they're attached to so many things, and they're not godly, they do things that are absolutely against the word of God, and the whole earth sounds like going down the drain. Actually, more than going to God, you will become depressed. But if you keep your focus on the word of God, if you remember God said His kingdom will come, if He said that my elect will inherit the earth, if He said that will eventually win this depressing situation, your depression will be less because there is a hope. That hope is you will eventually overcome all these obstacles because God said so. And in our teaching, if you read our teaching, you will see God said many things He will do, and He has done it. If He has done the thing He said in the past, and there was so many opposition to things that He was going to do, and He prevailed, He will prevail again. And therefore, our salvation is a powerful God that has a plan. He has sent all this revelation, and He is looking for His elect, and the elect has been in the process of being created for the last 12,000 years. And now many of them have been incarnated here on earth, and they will come together and, according to God's revelation, will create the facilitating body and eventually create communities of life and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, ego is strong. Ego will try to prevent you from going to God. Ego sees only very limited vision of God's plan, and therefore you will become depressed because you cannot see the end of the tunnel. But the end of the tunnel is already being given to you in the Word of God and in Zoe. If you focus to the end of the tunnel, which is the light, are you going to be guided out of the tunnel? Yes. So if you're focused on the darkness in the tunnel, you're probably never going to get out of it, and you're really going to stay in it. But if you keep your focus to the very end light in the tunnel, where are you going? You are going toward the light to get out of this situation. That is why we are not affected with this world which is happening around us. We are not affected with who comes to the mission, who doesn't. We are not affected with whatever happens in our life, because our focus is at the end of the tunnel. This world will pass away and a better world is coming. So we have to do our best, but that depression is there because we look at the darkness instead of looking at the light. And the light is our teaching, the light is Zoe, the light is the Word of God, and the light is the coming of the golden age and the kingdom. And in that time, we will all have much more time to meditate and progress. By focusing on a greater thing of coming, and start focusing what is wrong at this time. And maybe this depression is not only for you guys, but for everybody out there are depressed. Go ahead, Ashley.
You see, I seem to think of it a different way. I think my lower self, which is my ego, mm-hmm. is what keeps me striving for God. Surely my higher self knows.
Okay, I didn't get that part about the ego. Can you repeat? Okay, you see it differently, and then after that, okay, your higher self knows, and how about ego?
My ego is the part of me that keeps me striving to find the truth. I feel.
Ego is the part that says, I know, I do, I have done. Identifying you as an individual separated for the rest of the universe. Because it takes you to become self-centered and separated from God, it does to everybody. This part will create suffering in many lifetimes. That's what Buddha said, life is suffering. Life is something to overcome, not to be attached to it. And he was right in a sense that ego always creates problems. That's why in many lifetimes we learn that this external world is not the ultimate. So your ego, although creates a problem, at the same time it helps you to realize that this external world is not the ultimate truth. So you want to go for the higher self and progress. In a sense, you're right. You know, ego in one sense is helping, in other sense is the obstacle in your path. So you have a point there, but ultimately you have to realize that you and the universe are one. Your higher self or your essence is one with God. Your ego is the problem. Your ego is the one that stays in the way. Okay, just how you will be born again. You will be born again by knowing God and becoming one with Him. As God said, you have to be born again. Christ was the third seal, and the third seal is coming from the lower nature to higher self. And as Christ said, unless you are born again, you would not understand His words, as the scripture says. Therefore, you are born again by realizing that you have to overcome the lower nature and go to higher self. Christ said He has not come to destroy the law. Become one with the grace of God. Christ came to release the grace, and He has. By understanding His teaching, then you will overcome the lower nature. Love your neighbor with all your heart. Be like yourself. Love humanity as God loves them. And accept Christ's grace. which was released after he came to earth. Therefore, he has brought the grace of God to man, and everybody has the ability to go to God by that grace that he released after Christ came to earth. Therefore, he is celebrated. He is a great Messiah, but he said he shall return. He returned again and again and again. He was here even before he came, as many other prophets. By just putting some water on yourself and say, okay, I'm baptized now, I can go and do all the vile things or sinful things that God said don't do and not follow the commandments and God, that is just man-made way of not letting you know the truth of Christ's teaching. The question is, where do you find the Messiah returning again and again? I have always known Christ comes back once. If you read the Revelation, he is in the middle of the seven seals and says God opens all the seals through his Spirit, and Christ is the Spirit of God, and he has opened all the seven seals on earth. If all have come from God, and the Christ is the Spirit of God, therefore he is the one who opens the seven seals. Of course, we have to change the meaning of Messiah and Christ in a sense that Christ is the Spirit of God. God is a spirit. He cannot come to earth and say, here I am. Even if he does that, many people won't even listen or hear him, what he's talking about. It's not like a radio station. He is sending the signal, I am here. God is always there with you, is not even separated from you, but how many people can hear him? They can't, because their station is dialed another station, which is world. They want a position, they want a money, they want a this and that and all that. So they're not listening to God. But God prophesies and says, I am going to send such and such a person from such and such a places with fulfillment of such a prophecy, and then that person is tuned to my station. Absolutely, completely. And I will reveal the seals one by one to humanity. The one who reveals these seals are my spirit. It is God, it is Christ. So that's why he comes over and over again in the last 12,000 years and brings different revelation to humanity. He didn't say, I'll kind of return only one more time. He said, I shall return. And he has done it. God's word is that he will send the seven spirits of God on earth. He will have seven churches. And those seven churches are the seven religions on earth. So he has already given clear explanation how his plan will work, and he has fulfilled his plan to humanity. Of course, what you have taught is the dogma or the teaching of the preachers the way they teach you. Of course, if you go to the Muslim, they say Prophet Muhammad is the last prophet. They believe, you know, that's it. After him, nobody's going to come. But of course, in Quran says, I didn't teach everything, I didn't cover everything. You know, how can he be the last prophet if he doesn't cover everything? Therefore, we have to realize between what we know, what we think is the truth, and what God has sent to humanity. If we see the difference between our understanding and God's teaching, we overlook our understanding and we'll go to God and realize his words. And his words, of course, will not be clear to anyone until the seventh angel comes. And the seventh angel, he opens the seventh seal, the mystery of God will be finished. Therefore, anybody who claims to know the whole truth before the opening of the seventh seal or the coming of the seventh angel does not have the whole truth. That is why they have to create dogmas, they have to intellectualize it, they have to make themselves believe what the truth is. So we can see that we have to go to the scripture. That's why we ask everybody to prove what we teach. So That's your understanding, that he's going to come only one more. But that's not God's word. That is the preacher's word. That's the Christian understanding, which is okay. We're not against any religion. They're not Christian or Muslim or Hindus. We empathize with them. They have taught this way. But what you have been taught is before the seven angels come. And that is when the mystery of God will be finished. If you go to the chapter 10, verse 7 of Revelation, it clearly says, God is a mystery until the seventh angel comes. Now the mystery is finished. The mystery was that God sent each religion as a part of a greater truth, which is the eternal Holy One path. So we again refer you to our teaching. We ask you to go, ask, knock, and find the truth by yourself. We are not trying to convert you to anything. You have to convert yourself to this new revelation and see the Word of God clearly in though and in our teaching. And then you saw that, you realize, yeah, he didn't say I'm going to come only one more time. He said, I shall return. How many times? Only God knows how many times he shall return over and over and will bring the truth to you. Until the seventh angel comes, then the mystery of God will be finished. Now the seventh angel has come. It is the end time. This is the time of sundering between the elect and those who are still attached to this world and to their own understanding instead of God's understanding. So it is a very serious thing you have encountered in this room. This is not just another preaching about religion or Islam or Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism. It is the last revelation of God. We are not saying we only revealed a part of God's truth, as Quran says. We are saying we revealed the whole thing. Of course, Baha'i says, you know, that their prophet was also the, you know, last prophet, or at least for a thousand. When we can see that Baha'u'llah wrote many things and then he threw it to the river because he said humanity is not ready for it. So he didn't bring the whole thing. And no other prophet or messiah or revealer came and said, yes, I have brought the whole truth, opened the seventh seal, fulfilled the prophecies. Now it is your responsibility. It is God's call to you to go and prove it to yourself. I prove it to myself. And I prove it to those who see the truth in our teaching clearly. And I'm done with them. That's between them and God. And I am very pleased that I have given the message clearly to humanity. And God is pleased because I have done it. And now it's between you and God to please Him. Go and see, yes, it is from God. And the truth is that God sent the seventh angel. He will send seven revelations. When you put these seven revelations together, it reveals a path. It's called eternal divine path, which will create the communities of light and will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, we are in the last part of God's plan. God's plan has been fulfilled all the way to the seventh angel, all the way to chapter 5 in Revelation. The book sealed with the seven seals is open. The only person can open the book sealed with the seven seal is the branch of the Judah, branch from the genealogy of the Judah. And the whole thing is in a website. It's amazing. And anybody go there and read and see the Word of God in our teaching, and they still come here and say, we are Antichrist. It's just beyond imagination that somebody can even come to that conclusion, unless they don't know the teaching really. They don't understand what we are teaching. So we can see that God clearly says He will send the Christ more than once. He has sent Him many times. He came as Adam. He came as Abraham. He came as Moses. He came as many, many other prophets in the Old Testament. He came as Christ. He came as Muhammad. He came as Bob. And He also... The Christ is the Spirit of God. Christ is not an ego, it's an individual. If we understand that, the Spirit of God, Christ, have come to earth many, many times and revealed seven truths that now is being explained. Lou, go ahead.
Shalom, Mitra. My question is concerning the Rajaguna. In Soap, you said that Rajaguna is the female principle. And then in another part, you explained, you referred to Rajaguna as Michael. So it seems to me that the female part is the most active in the universe. Is that correct?
It is the active part, not more active, but it is. Rajaguna is active part in the universe. That's why it brings the feeling of I do. Not the most active, but it is the essence of action and vibration in the universe.
My second question is concerning the where he said in the Bible that the God told the serpent that he would be cursed and go on his belly. How was the serpent functioning before?
The serpent is the temptation. What is temptation? What is passion? Temptation comes from passion, and it usually comes from second chakra. Passion is Rajaguna. Passion is fallen grace. The same energy that creates passion and makes man go astray, then it comes to the highest levels become grace. It's the same thing. It is Rajaguna, it is the energy, it is movement in the universe. The only thing is how you use it. If you use action to other world and your lower nature, it becomes passion. If you use it for a higher self and bringing God's grace to yourself and others, become grace or Holy Mother. When it falls to the lower nature, it becomes woe man. Become woe unto man. When the same energy is used to the higher self, it becomes grace of God. That is why, you know, many times we said, if woman was the cause of the fall of man, the same woman can bring man to God and a higher self. So that's why we see woman is not really related to a body, although it does have some relationship with it, but in truth is the energy of the universal Rajaguna and how you use it. Now, when the passion or lower energy or woman comes to man, it tempts the man to do what God said not to do. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's exactly what my ideas are. It is your knowledge of good and evil. You think what is right and what is wrong, right? And that is when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The woman, the lower nature, told man, the higher self, and that's okay, you can do it. God probably said that because if you do what God said not to do, you become wise and become like God. You become God because you follow your own understanding and you become a little God because you follow your own will. And this energy, this lower nature from the very beginning was the reason that the universe went out of the balance and the unit consciousness were created. And this very energy of Rajaguna was in the state of balance before it went out of the balance. So energy or Trigunas always are in the universe, always existed from infinity, but they were in a state of balance, therefore they didn't have any ability to activate any propensities. And therefore there was no devil and there was no thing opposite to devil before the creation. But there was the potential of being created and create. And then when the creation starts, of course, if the same energy is used for lower nature, it becomes devil, it becomes lower nature, it becomes temptation, it becomes passion, it becomes all the vice that human has. But when you use the same energy used for a higher self, become compassion, it become love, it become mercy, it become truth, and therefore it is the same energy. It is not something you can say, well, this is the devil existed after creation, and now after the creation is continued somewhere like a being, we can throw him into the lake of fire and destroy him. But because the lower nature of man continues to dominate, many people will fall because they do not use that energy for the higher self, and they never receive the grace of God. So you have to expand your mind by seeing how everything is in here, everything is here, and everything will be forever. So you are actually eternal. You have been here forever, you will be here. The devil has been here forever, will be here forever. The grace has been here forever, will be forever. But this creation is a temporary place for everybody progress to Godhead. If you have any other question, go ahead, Lou. And if you have a follow-up, go ahead.
No, that's fine. You've answered my question very extensively. Thank you. And I must say that I'm very happy that, you come every Saturday instead of once a month.
Yeah, I will keep coming. If you guys go during the week, study our teachings, realize the depth of what we are teaching, and come up with a question. If it reaches the point that all the questions are answered, we are going to just come here and just sit here and do nothing. Well, we can do that, but I'd rather everybody bring more questions or bring other people. They don't have anything about teaching. Go and reach to, you know, your community. More people understand the depth of God's revelation and what He has been doing. Go ahead, actually.
When you say that teaching from the fruit of tree of knowledge, are you really suggesting that we should try now to return to the fact where we see no good or evil, just God?
Your voice is coming over a little distorted in my computer. As I understand the question correctly, you see, I suggest that it is time for us all go back to Godhead. Is that what the question is?
No, not really. To go back to before we ate from the tree of knowledge, the difference between good and evil, are you suggesting it would be better of us now not to see good or evil in anything, just God in everything?
No, for sure there is evil on the world, but the evil is not a being. It is the lower nature of man, the using of the energy toward the external world. It is not that not to see evil. We know and we see the evil on earth for sure. It's not that we don't see that. God talks about evil. God talks about the fallen man. Actually, the very reason for creation is because man failed. Man did evil. Man created chaos. Man went against the will of God. And that is what the evil is. Evil is going against the will of God and creating chaos and separating itself from the essence. Therefore, there is evil. We can see the evil clearly. But the evil is coming to end. Its power is weakening. Of course, it sounds like it's even getting stronger. But at the end, it will weakening and be destroyed. We know evil, and we oppose everything which is from lower nature, but we recommend higher self and higher nature, and by this, we can eventually overcome lower nature. So we see the evil, but at the same time, we are not afraid of it, because evil is very, very small. Evil is not very smart, because the very evil actually sometimes leads people to God. Because after they go through many lifetimes of doing evil, eventually they see that doesn't bring happiness, but the happiness comes by higher things. Again, we invite all of you, go to our website and see our teachings. This is the unification of our religion based on the word of God and fulfillment of our prophecies. And hopefully all of you become very familiar with our teaching. It is actually when I started the mission and I was writing it, I was wondering if anybody ever understands the interrelationship between all parts of the teaching and how they are all related together. Because God said He will send people who will understand this teaching and will progress. Go ahead, Librizo.
I'm thinking about the communities of light, and I see several references in your writings about communities of light and how they're organized and who should come to them. And in some places it appears that the communities of light are family-oriented, and I know you said that there is a place for a single people there. But I'm just curious, how many communities are actually started? I know you have the one in New Mexico, and I believe there's one in Florida. And also, could you tell me where in Florida the community is, or the group is? I might be relocating to Florida, so I'm just curious to how close I'll be to that community.
Actually, we are not in the process of creating communities of light at this time. We are trying to find the elder body, and elder body is the top to bottom organization that we are trying to create, and that is the people who will come and will prove themselves to be absolutely dedicated to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. They have ability to organize and create organization and facilitate the teaching to reach to the very bottom of the society, the roots of the society, and eventually they, in the very bottom, will create the communities of light and will manifest the hierarchy which comes from the communities of light, and then that will be the one will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. We do not have the communities of light in Florida. We have centers. We have two centers in Florida, one in North Florida and one in South Florida. The one in South Florida is in Miami area, and the North is in Tallahassee area. And if you go to our website, there is a connection to our contacts, and there are two under Florida, and their telephone numbers and emails, everything is there that you can contact the people that are in each center. But really, even it's not a center yet, they are probably mostly contact people that can help you probably start something yourself there, or help you in any way you want. It depends how much help you need. You are looking for a contact person all over the world. A contact person is the person who contacts anybody who is interested in mission to our teaching and mission. They can become just a person who spreads the message, or they can start a meditation class, or whatever of the teaching they can spread to other people wherever they are. So at this time we are mostly trying to reach the elects and those that they really see this teaching clearly and what God has done, and will come and completely engage in helping this mission to spread all over the world. They can be, of course, many levels. They can just be a contact. They can be a supporter. They can be a part of the community here. They can come and completely dedicate themselves to creation of the body of the hierarchy from the top. It depends what kind of abilities they have, how much time they want to spend, how much dedicated they are, what can they do. So we need everybody in all level in mission, and hopefully as the word spreads, more people will realize that that is the salvation of humanity, and come and join us. Go ahead, Ashley.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm just a little bit confused about reincarnation one thing I'm not quite comfortable with. My attitude to it is, and what I've been taught for years is, that there is no time, there is just now. So, how could we have lived before now?
In Judeo-Christian and Islamic teaching, reincarnation is not emphasized, but even in Bible, clearly John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elijah or Elias, because Elias or Elijah came as John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was born from a mother, a woman, and no matter how you look at it, there is no other way but that John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elijah. Then of course it comes to the understanding of the justice of God. If God is just and gave you only one lifetime and put you in a situation you never heard about in any religions or scriptures or God, and you died, and then he sends you to hell, and he, or lower nature, or wherever that suffering will gonna be, is he a just God? And what happened to the beings that came before Christ, or before Muhammad, or before any prophet? Do they all go to hell because they didn't know God's words? So it's a matter of justice of God also. Not only is it in the scripture, it's also the justice of God. Also, there have been people hypnotized or life regression, and they have remembered their past lifetimes. And some of them even start talking about the language that they had never knew in this lifetime, and the reason was they knew it in the previous lifetimes. They also, people, they have told what happened in some of the recent a lifetime they had for 20, 30, 40 years ago, and some people went and studied, yes, such a person existed, and the events they told them, they have occurred. So you can see there is a lot of evidence for the reincarnation, and it also makes a lot of sense, because if God is just and gave you many, many lifetimes, many opportunities to progress, and you didn't, then God is just says, look, you are not progressing. I put you so many different places, showed you the revelations, the scriptures. You even listened to Maitreya, and he told you about the eternal divine path, and still you walked away, or you didn't understood it. Therefore, sorry, I am going to reincarnate another person. You're going to go to hell. You're not going to go back to progress. You're going to stay in your own nature. So we can see that it also explains the justice of God. And there are evidence in many people remembered some of their previous lifetimes. Some people remember who they were, what they did. You know? And also, as you meditate and you realize who you were and why you are here, you might even see who you were in previous lifetimes. So there are lots of evidence that this is the truth. Also God says, the elect will inherit my earth. Who are the elect? How do they become elect? God just decided this one is elect and this one is not elect, and that is goes to hell and this goes to heaven and come to my presence. But if we say, well, for the last 12,000 years, many of the same people from the beginning meditated and realized themselves and progressed in each lifetime, and now they are in a point to realize that, yes, this revelation is from God, and that's how bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and you become an elect and inherit the earth. That makes sense, because God gave you many opportunities to progress. Where is he?
I can say for myself, I think I've met about six people that claim to have been John the Baptist in the previous lifetime. My attitude to that is that people tune into the Akashic Records because they can remember everything that comes from the Akashic Records. They assume that they lived there before. I think they just tune into the Akashic Records. What do you think?
Okay. How did they say they are John the Baptist? Did they say it in a sense that they came before Christ and now if Christ comes and they will serve him? Or did they say they are the John the Baptist with an ego involved? Sound like I am important because I was John the Baptist. How did you feel about that?
Well, I think everyone wants to be loved, and I think these people were sincere, but they really believed that they were important people in previous lives. I've met several people that claim to have been Cleopatra. But they want to be important. That's not their fault, that's not wrong. But it does point evidence towards the Akashic records, to my mind, more than it does reincarnation.
Well, have you ever seen anybody who says I was poor and wretched and sinful and very bad and I'm not important in the previous reincarnation? Can't you see there is an ego involved there that they claim to be John the Baptist?
Oh yes, I do indeed.
Okay, can John the Baptist, a chosen person from God, have an ego?
I think John the Baptist demonstrated that he was an ego, the ego of Christ.
Well, okay, well, according to our teaching, the whole idea is you become egoless. You are not important because you are a personality in previous lifetime. You are important because you have the essence of God. And everybody has the essence of God, therefore everybody is important if they manifest God through themselves. See, that is the problem with reincarnation, and that's why God probably kept it away from Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i teachings, because ego become involved and like to be someone and take that position with the egoistical approach. And therefore, they even separate themselves from God even farther. That is why in our teaching, meditation put together with prayer. Okay, because meditation, you go deeper in a spirit and ego is involved with the meditation. And prayer is when ego is not involved, you go dialectic to God and talk to Him. Therefore, meditation and prayer go hand in hand. That's why meditation alone actually must create more egoistical person if they only do meditation. But if they include prayer with it, that ego will not be involved. You say they go to Akashic record and they think that they are the John the Baptist. But I say they meditate and their ego wants to be someone that they feel they are John the Baptist, but not because they have fulfilled what John the Baptist did, or they have fulfilled any prophecy, or they have fulfilled any word, part of the Word of God, but the very idea of being the John the Baptist appeals to them so much that they accept that as to be the truth. The mind is a very powerful thing. You know, you can destroy yourself with your mind or lift yourself up to absolute delusion. And of course we know what a delusion of grandeur is. You have the delusion that there is a grandeur on being John the Baptist. That is the problem with incarnation. If you meditate and feel you are important because you have somebody in the previous lifetime. But if you understand that you are important if you do the will of God, you are really important because you are the essence of God, then when somebody says, I'm God or I'm the essence of God, he or she also realizes everybody else also is the essence of God, and therefore they don't create that big ego. And yes, that is a problem with reincarnation. I'm not sure if it's because they reach the Akashic record. Could be. It could be. It makes sense. It's possible that they do connect to a source of knowledge of the universe, and they feel that they are John the Baptist or the Christ, how many people in asylum they think they are Christ, and how many people out there they think they are Christ also. But have they fulfilled the prophecy? Did God told them to come? Did they bring the revelation from God, or they just have the notion they are John the Baptist? So you have to look at the Word of God. You know, God doesn't send somebody without prophesizing of His coming. Okay? That's why He did that, because there's so many people, they are claiming a lot of things, but when Christ comes, His teaching is humility. He's not a big ego that says, oh, I am Christ, nobody else is. Christ said, thou art God. So we have to realize that, yes, there is a problem with the spirituality. There is a problem that people might take the Word of God and interpret the way they want it, and then enslave, you know, other people. It has happened to all the religions in the world. Hopefully it's not going to happen to our teaching, because that is what not prophesied is going to happen to it. Every religion have enslaved their followers. Why? Because the people who are teaching them, they have their ego, and they are distorting the Word of God, and they are teaching egoistical things to their followers. They have never had any direct experience with God themselves. So even incarnation can be misused. But the truth is, reincarnation is the truth. Because if there is no reincarnation, how can God be just? If there is no incarnation, how John the Baptist is Elijah? If there is no incarnation, how when people are regressed, remember their previous lifetime? If there is no reincarnation, then how Christ can come over and over and over again? So we can see all these things points to the truth of the incarnation. But if